All right, y'all. Luke chapter 18 this morning, as we continue to either discover or be reminded about the vital role that prayer plays in the life of a Christian person. And we've talked about several different things over the last several weeks involving prayer and how prayer is important, how prayer is vital. It's absolutely necessary for the believer to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior. It's what Jesus died for us to be able to do, talk to God and be with God and have this relationship with God. So today we're going to be in Luke chapter 18 in verse 1 to 8 and see a parable that Jesus used to teach something else, something to add on to what we know or what we've learned. Let me read and then we'll carry on. Luke chapter 18 verses 1 to 8. It's not going to be on the board. Look it up in your word. Verse 1 of chapter 18 says, "Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, 'Give me legal protection from my opponent.' For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out.'" In verse 6, "And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Verses 1 through 8 of Luke chapter 18, Jesus is using this parable to teach a lesson to his disciples and to us through the Word of God about persistence in our prayers. Now, how many of y'all have been talking to God for a long time? Most of you in the room. I've been talking to God most of my life that I can remember. Even before I ever got saved, I would talk to God. All right? Never did I ever consider that God would ever communicate with me until after I got saved. Just the way it was. I acknowledged his existence and I talked to him all the time. I guess I just didn't feel like he was going to talk to me for some reason. I didn't know that he would talk to me. I didn't know that he would actually respond to what I was saying to him. But then I got saved and I found out there's a relationship to be had between us and our God. It's a relationship not only that's available, but it's a relationship that he desires for us to engage in. So much so that he sent Jesus to make it possible that we would be able to communicate with him. Jesus is teaching this parable. A parable is a story that is an illustration, by the way. All right, so he's got this story that's just used as an illustration to prove a point or to make a point. So he's telling about this judge who really doesn't fear God and doesn't care about any other. He probably believed he was a god if he was a real judge. And this woman, this widow, he uses a widow in this parable because in those days, in that culture, the widow was very helpless without a man in her life of some sort. All right, needed a husband or a son or a brother or somebody to take her in to his household so that she would be protected and cared for. That's the culture. So this is why the widow is being used in this parable as a person of helplessness, a person of great need would go to this judge, and she's requesting for this judge to give her what the New American Standard calls legal protection. Right? Meaning she wants him to absorb her into his protection, which would be normal. But he doesn't care. He never cares about her. Right? But she what? What does it say? She wore him down. You ever had anybody wear you down? You can say yeah. Everybody can, you can admit that. You've had somebody in your life has wore you down at some point. All right? I wear myself down sometimes, but that's a whole nother. Jesus is trying to, his intent in verse 1, his intent is to encourage a consistent prayer, persistent prayer. Keep going to God. He's saying, don't give up on God because God's not going to give up on you. That's the whole point. Prayer is not only a way to receive from God, right? Not only a way to receive from God, it's how we grow closer to God. It's how we engage in the relationship, you see. And as we engage in the relationship and grow in Christ and we have this recognition of our God and how he interacts with us, we grow closer to him and we love him more, and it shows us how much more he loves us, and all on and on and on, and our spiritual health continues to increase. You see, the spiritual life, the Christian life, is not done in a microwave. Make sense? You don't push a button, a 1-minute button, and then ding, it's done. No. We're talking about crock pot recipes on low. And you let that thing simmer. You get in the presence of God and you just simmer. And you let him do it all. You just keep getting in there with him. You keep going to him and you keep talking to him about whatever is on your heart, about whatever the needs are, about whatever the word says, or whatever the convictions are. You see, if we're going to put ourselves in the shoes of the widow, I would ask myself, what is it that I keep going to God for that he doesn't seem to be responding to? Or maybe I got to keep going over and over again. And I got a long list of stuff, y'all, that I go to God for on a regular basis and have been ever since I've been saved. And some of it is for other people and some of it's over self. Right? How many, don't answer this, don't raise your hand. How many of us have repented over the same thing over and over again? Right? And if I didn't know God, if I didn't understand God and his grace, I would have repented the first time, and then the second time I probably wouldn't go back to him because I'm like, well, he forgave me and I messed it up. But I know that he wants me to keep coming back to him until I can get victory over that, whatever that is in your life, in my life. Did you know that a bamboo tree, Chinese bamboo tree, it takes 5 years to grow? Anybody know that? Anybody ever tried to grow one? I doubt it. I might be surprised, but I doubt it, because our culture can't wait on nothing. I mean, I'm just going to confess something to you. Some of these traffic lights are way too long. I'm sitting there for 10 minutes waiting on a green light. See what I'm saying? We're just impatient people. That's our culture. That's what we've been told to be. That's what the world does, so that's what we end up falling into. But it takes a Chinese bamboo tree 5 years to grow. You water it, you tend to it, and you fertilize it for years. You don't see any growth above ground. But then in the fifth year, y'all, in the fifth year, it can grow up to 90 feet in 6 weeks. You ever seen that before? You ever heard about that? Can you imagine? You're sitting there working on something for 5 years. Nothing happens. Nothing that you can see anyway. It's all happening underground. It's all happening in the soil. Y'all realize, I think y'all know this, but do y'all realize that some of those prayers, if not all of them, God's working under the soil. God's dealing with those things and you don't see it all. That's the hard part for me. I don't know, it's probably not for y'all because I have my own struggles, but the hard part for me is I want to see what's going on. Right? Not that I don't trust God, I don't think. It's not that I don't trust God, but I just want to see what's going on. It makes me feel better. And every time I talk to God about that, he's like, well, it's none of your business. It's your business when I tell you it's your business. I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me while I'm working. I want you to believe that I'm hearing you. I want you to know that I know your heart, you see. So you keep coming back here and you keep telling me your heart and it will get dealt with, you see. Prayer often works that way under the surface. Don't stop praying just because you don't see the results, y'all. Don't stop talking to God. Don't give up on the Lord over the things that you're concerned about and the things that are on your heart, the things that are important to you, the things that you know are important to him. Don't stop talking to him about those things. He's growing something. He's working on something. Verses 2 to 5, this widow, she's so persistent, right? She's just a vulnerable widow. She pleads persistently with this unjust judge, this judge that has no reason to care about her. She had no power, no advocate. She just refused to quit on herself. She refused to quit searching for what she needed and pleading for what she needed. And this judge, he didn't care about her. He didn't care about her even when he gave her what she asked for. He didn't care about her. He cared about himself, right? Because what does it say? He's like, I'm just going to give her what she wants because she's bothering me. Can you imagine this kind of a judge? Every day she comes in there with this same request, and over time he's like, oh, she's backed again today. And then suddenly every morning he gets out of bed and he's like, I know she's going to be back in there. I know she's coming in here. And I'm going to tell her no again, and then she's going to come back the next day. Finally, to give himself some relief, he says, all right, fine. Whatever it is you want, fine. Just stop bothering me, you see. That's the whole picture that Jesus is drawing with this parable. And he's saying that our God, our Father, our judge, who loves you, does not respond because you're bothering him. He responds because he loves you. And he cares about your need. He cares about your situations. He cares about your requests. He genuinely cares about what's going on and why you're coming to him. So how much more would he agree to your petition than a judge like this? A God, if we had a God who didn't care about us, who didn't love us, who was a selfish, domineering, hateful, whatever word you want to put behind it kind of God, then how would it be? Continue to go to God because you trust that he cares about what you're saying to him. It's about faith. It's about your trust in him. It's about, okay, I'm going to go to God about how I can make disciples. I'm going to go to God about how I can be the witness. How can I be better? How can I get closer to him? How can I get rid of this sin in my life? How can I go and love people and love God every day? How can I pay my bills? How can I take care of my children? How do I witness to my grandchildren? Whatever your requests are, the reason we go to God is because we trust him in the first place. Is that not true? We know that he wants us to go to him. We know that he cares about us. We see that on the cross. So why would we stop talking to him just because we don't see what's going on under the surface? We don't see what God's doing behind the scenes. We don't know what God's doing in another person's heart. Most of the time, we don't even know what he's doing in our heart. We think we do, but sometimes we wake up one day and it's like, oh, I didn't realize the Lord was doing that in me. You see? And evidence of that for me personally was when I got saved. I was truck driving and hammer swinging and playing ball, living my life. And the next thing you know, I'm sitting in church listening to the gospel and got pricked to the heart to repent and get saved. And it's been a total different life ever since. None of that I saw coming. Every day, every month, every year of my life since I've been saved, God has done some things in the church, in our home, in our family, in the world that I would never dreamed he would have done in the way he did it. And I don't know why, but it seems like we're always surprised when God works some things out and we're like, oh, I didn't know he's going to do it like that. It's because we can't see what God's doing under the surface. We don't get to see everything that God's doing in the hearts of other folks. So we just be faithful. If we believe God and we trust God and we know that he knows it all, then we go to him and we say, Lord, whatever you're doing, I'm in. And if I get to know about it, that's wonderful. But if I don't, then I'm just going to trust that you're doing what you're doing. Help me to be prepared. Help me to be involved. Thomas Edison, me and Mike took the biggest light bulb I've ever had in my hands out of a light in my yard yesterday because the light went out, so I got to get in. That thing is like this big, y'all, like that big around. And I'm walking around, and I look at Mike, and I was like, hey, man, I got a good idea. And he just looked at me like, whatever. Thomas Edison, how many of y'all know how many times he tried to invent this light bulb? Anybody know off the top of your head? Just about 1,000 tries. 1,000 mistakes, you would call them, before he invented, successfully turned the light on. But when he was asked about all of his failures, you know what he says? He's like, I didn't fail 1,000 times. He says the light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. That's how he describes it. If we don't see or feel God's response to our prayers, it's not failure. He's not ignoring you. Because I can promise you that whatever it is you're going to talk to him about, he already knows before you ever thought about talking to him about it. He's probably already working in that before you ever got to him about it or you ever had it on your heart. Persistence is what God is looking for. You want to know why? You want to know why? Because I've wrestled with this for so many years. When I was early on being a Christian man, I was like, why would God make me beg him? Because that's what it sounded like to me. What kind of God would make me beg him to respond? And that's not what it is, is it? It's not at all what it is. You want to know what it is? God wants to know, do you trust him? God wants to know if your faith in him is real. He wants to know if you've truly surrendered your kingdom to him. And he's God. And he's Lord. You see. Because look, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? Those of us who cry out to God, won't he hear us? Won't he know that we're calling on to him? Those of us who love him, those who are his. By the way, the elect in the New American Standard are those who are the whosoevers in John 3:16. Not some that God picked and some God didn't pick. It's those who chose God. Whoever would believe in me can be saved. That's John 3:16. And those who accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, according to Hebrews, walk into a situation where the blood of Christ allows us to go into the presence of God anytime for any reason. Covered by the blood of Christ. Praise the Lord for that. So if we accept the gift of love that God gave us through Jesus on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, why on earth would he turn us away when we come to him? No, he won't. He wants us to be there. He's expecting us to be there. He hears us when we're there. And he wants us to trust him and have faith in him and leave it in his hands, whatever it is. God hears the cries of his people. Verse 8 tells it all. Verse 8 says this. I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. He's not going to delay. Here's the thing. You guys know as well as I do that we all have things that we have been praying for years, asking God about for years, bringing to the Lord's attention for years. and it doesn't seem to be changing in our minds and in our eyes. But that does not mean that God is not bringing justice quickly, because our time and God's time is not the same. Because quickly to me is right now, right? But a lifetime can be quickly, because God doesn't go by our clocks. He doesn't go by our calendars. He doesn't go by our timepieces. He created us to be smart enough to figure all that out so we can keep up with ourselves. Right? But his time and our time is not the same. So when it says that when Jesus says he will bring about justice for them quickly, that just means it will happen, and it'll happen in his time. And that'll be sufficient. How many of us are going to say, thanks, Lord, for the blessing, but yeah, you're a little slow on that one? No. We dare not, right? That's where when Lazarus died, the ladies ran up to him like, if you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. No, God's timing is the right timing. It's the appropriate timing. He wants us to get adjusted to him, you see. He wants us to trust him so much that, you know what? If this prayer is not being answered today, then it ain't time. And I'll be satisfied with my God. And until he says that this is going to be answered, then I'm going to be with him. And it's going to be well with my soul. Not because my desires change, but because I trust God, y'all. I got people that are close to me that I wish would get saved. I got people that I'm not so close to that live around me that I wish they would get saved. I can't make them get saved. God's not going to make them get saved. They have to choose. So I pray, Lord, keep calling them. Keep pricking their hearts. Keep nudging them. Do what you got to do to get their attention so that they might choose to love you, to surrender to you. And every day that goes by, that doesn't happen, it's in his hands. Maybe we've had some people on our church prayer list that have been on there for quite a while, and nothing seems to change, right? We're not going to get upset with God. We're not going to get frustrated with God. We're just going to keep telling him, look, this person's still on here, and they're still suffering. Your will be done, Lord, in their life. We're going to trust you, and we're going to go about making disciples while you're dealing with that. We're going to go about doing the things that you've called us to do while you're dealing with that. Here it is right here. This is it right here. This is what we're going home with. At the end of verse 8, he says, however, after the whole parable and the whole explanation of the point of the parable, he says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That'll get you choked up a little bit if you think about it. When the Son of Man comes, talking about Jesus, will he find, the New American Standard says, faith on the earth. The original writing, the words that were used, the grammar of the original writing actually means, will he find the faith on the earth? The faith. There's only one faith that saves. Am I right? It's not any faith or some different kind of faith or a plethora of faiths. You like that big word? The faith. What faith is it? Faith that James teaches. Right? Faith without word, faith without action is dead. What is your faith moving you to do? How is your faith leading you to live? How is our faith instigating conversation with God? How is it affecting our relationship with him? Do we trust him? Do we believe him? Do we have faith in him as our God, that his word is true? Everybody in here wants to say, yeah, amen, praise the Lord, that's what I believe, right? So we go to God. We continuously go to God. Now, every time I talk about running, I get convicted. Right? Because I'm not a runner, in case you didn't know that. I'm not a runner. But I'm going to say it anyway. A marathon runner doesn't win because they sprint the whole way. Anyone who's ever watched a marathon or ran a marathon or even ran period understands that sprinting doesn't last long. We're not made to sprint for long periods of time. They win because they endure. They endure through the pain, the exhaustion, and the discouragement. Step by step, believing the finish line is worth it. That's the Christian life. It's the way Paul described it. You run the race. You only lose if you quit, you see. And the Christian life is all about saying, yes, I believe God. Yes, I want God. Yes, I need His salvation. Yes, I repent. And yes, I'll live for Him. Yes, I'll love Him and love people. Yes, I'll do what the Spirit of God leads me to do. And I will follow Him and not turn back. I will not quit. So every day I continue to talk to God about even everything, and even if it's the same thing for the rest of my life. Because sometimes your prayers get answered after you're long gone from this world. Right? There's people that have prayed for their friends and loved ones to get saved, and they had lived their life, and God calls them home. And years after they're long gone, God responds to those prayers. And a person will come before the Lord and get saved and give their life to Christ. And they'll stand up in front of the whole world and say, my great-grandmother was praying for me, or my grandfather always taught me about God. And I didn't believe it until now. You see. If you don't believe that, look in John's gospel where Jesus went before our Father and prayed for me and you. He prayed that we would be one with Him like He is with the Father. That's our Savior's prayer for all of the disciples, all of the believers. And every time someone gets saved, it's an answer to that prayer. Every time. You see. So let's not stop being persistent in our prayers. Anything. We're asking the Lord to do great things in our church. His church. We're asking the Lord to move in such a way that people might know God in a real way so they can have a choice to make to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior right here in this community using this crowd of people, this family. Don't stop praying about that. Don't stop asking the Lord about that. He's working. He's working underground. He's working behind the scenes. Things are going to happen. Right? I love you and the Lord loves you. Let's sing a song of invitation. If you're not saved, then I pray that you would just consider that today. I pray that you consider just surrendering to the Lord. Ask Him to forgive you as a sinner. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins so you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and you can continue on the journey, the marathon that we're all living. That's what you need to do. Let's stand together and we'll sing.